they had both worked for different companies before. Sam Hinkson worked for Turner Tanning Machine, which is one of the biggest leather machinery manufacturers in the East Coast, if not the United States. And he was one of their top guys. And he had, a lot of people prodded him over the years about starting his own business. And it was during the Depression, and it was like, everybody said, you're crazy, just quit the job and start your own company. But he did, and they were successful at it right away. And they ended up in the basement of the building, which Larrabee and Hinkson eventually owned, which was the Clark Lumber Company building. And if I'm right, I think Jeffers Lumber also originated in that building, and then they moved next door to where the location where they are now. Larrabee and Hinkson bought the building, and then they took over the whole building and moved upstairs. It was a wide, if you never saw that place, have you seen pictures? It was wide open, no beams inside, just a 40 feet wide, or maybe a little wider than 40 feet, and about 120 feet long, with nothing in the way. So you could put machinery and run lumber in and out of there, drive trucks in there with no problem. It was a well-built building. And they just mushroomed. After the war, the demand for leather was high. During the war, the demand for leather was high, of course, too, for boots. But after the war, everybody came home from war and started up companies, and so they just mushroomed. The 50s and the 60s were boomtown years for them. And then after the 60s, things started to go down. The factory started going out of state, down south, out of country. The tanning industry was trying to put pressure on the government to put import taxes on the leather coming in from overseas, because it was cutting into their businesses, but the government wouldn't, and it kind of made a free-for-all for all the foreign companies, and which ironically a lot of American owners went overseas and brought their company over there to beat the taxes and beat the labor costs, and so it eventually was the death knell for the tanning industry. They just couldn't compete with cheap labor, and the tanning industry, leather manufacturing is so labor intensive. There's so much of the handling, got to go through so many hands from start to finish. So, you know, you can't beat, you know, guys are making $8.50 an hour here, and they're making 50 cents a day in Haiti or wherever. So that's what a lot of that happened.
So Larrabee and Hinkson worked, they weren't a leather factory, they produced the lumber that was used.
The lumber would go into making tanning drums, wagons, the wheelbarrows that, before Fark trucks came, everything was wheeled in a wheelbarrow, all the leather and the scraps, so that were transported from room to room in wheelbarrows. And then dump boxes were made when the Fark trucks came along. They would make dump boxes to dump the leather out of, and then they had under mill boxes on wheels that they were dumped, the contents of the tanning drum was dumped into the box and then rolled away so they could reload the tanning drum and start the next process. So the drum was never idle. It would load it up again for the next shift. And transport boxes and then leather hosses were on wheels so they could hoss up, it would come out of the leather box after it was dumped from the tanning drum. They would hoss it up and then push it into a drying room. And then after the drying room was hossed up again and go to the next room. And then it was hossed up each stage of the operation. And depending on the tannery and what kind of hide they did, the hosses were small or large or long or short, mm-hmm. depending on the leather. Mm-hmm. And so Larrabee and Hinkson had